So yeah, the McFadden Group has been around for just over about 2.5 years. But last year was the big pivot where I went into career coaching specifically because I knew that I could work on developing people's emotional intelligence and core values alignment to then become stronger personally to drive them professionally.
Welcome back to Time to Change. And who do I have in the house today, Dom? Christopher McFadden. Let's give it up, my friends. Come on, hit the applause button.
Thank you.
We are so thrilled to have him in the house today. He is the founder of the McFadden Group. He is a sommelier. Here's a guy who was a professor. He is a consultant. He is a career service industry professional, and we are thrilled to have him in the house talking to us about people first cultures and everything around how people make it all come together. So perfect start for our kickoff of season 7, Dom. Oh my goodness.
Look at us growing up.
Becoming adults, right? Becoming adults. This is good.
Oh my goodness. It's so if you guys saw the first episodes of me by myself doing some of these interviews, and I'm not even looking at the camera, I'm over here. My wife is like, your ADHD is kicking in. Like, I don't know what happened over here, but you were like staring over at the corner of the person just like trying to talk to you. It was pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
I love when the ADHD gets thrown at us. I will absolutely chat. What's great is that I love the conversations where more of it is now. I'm a super transparent human being. I believe transparency changes everything when it comes to empowerment and just, you know, believing in what's happening. And yeah, I got tested for ADHD last year where I've always been super tenacious and I get things done, but I was jumping into thoughts as I was in the middle of a thought, and I started seeing it, especially being a professor and grading papers, I was like, I have to have validity in my day to start something and know that I can end it. And I was getting to the point where I was 37 graded papers to go. And I'm like, I can't finish this today. I'm going to go this route and crush these 17. So I said to my wife, I'm like, I'm going to go get tested for ADHD. And the big question was that if I'm going to go to the store to get milk, what does that look like? Do I know where my keys are? Do I go to the bank first? Do I go to the drugstore first? And then do I forget what I got to the grocery store for? After I got a cart full of milk and I'm texting my wife, or a cart full of other stuff, and I text my wife to say, what was I here
for?
Yeah,
what am I here?
So yeah. Yeah. I'm blessed, man. But I think it's funny because in restaurants and hospitality and just tourism and service and everything that we do in that gesture, we always blame our thinking, I probably have ADHD or OCD. And ta-da, 25 years later of running restaurants, I applaud this. This is good. But there's openness for the start of the conversation for sure.
There we go. Well, before we get too far in, hey, tell people a little bit about who you are and why you started the McFadden Group.
Yeah, man. So I live in Burlington, Ontario. So about half an hour, 40 minutes west of Toronto and about 40 minutes north of Buffalo. And so I'm right in the center of just before the U.S. and just before our biggest city in Ontario. And I grew up in restaurants. I fell in love with the restaurant business when I was quite young, through my teenage years, and did a little bit of theater school in New York, came back, ended up going out to Lake Louise because I had to calm down from the big city life, and fell in love with wine. So I started my sommelier training when I was 20, and a few years later got my diploma and carried on a professional career in restaurants as a sommelier, running restaurants first though, because nobody just gives you a wine list before you learn how to run a room, because that's kind of the treat at the end of the rainbow. And for 25 years, I was at the grind, and lots of highs and lows. I quit drinking 8 years ago, but ended up starting to taste wine again, thinking I had control over it. So it'll be almost 3 years beginning of September since I've had a sip of wine. But it's been just over 8 years since I've had hard alcohol and beer. But last in 2022, we had a big shift in our life because of family health issues here in Ontario and for my wife in Prince Edward Island. So we came back to Burlington, Ontario, where I grew up, just to be closer to family. And when you start coming into your mid to late 40s, all of a sudden parents get older quickly and things start changing. So that attention needed to come here. And as all of that was happening, I had battled my own things and depression kind of kicked in. And I realized that I had to start focusing on becoming a better me for me, and that I could eventually get to a point where opportunities started showing up differently for me when you're completely clear and framed in your own space. That the idea of emotional intelligence as a study for the last few years and leadership development and a real people first mentality really bloomed and began. So the McFadden Group is based upon a course that I created with a dear friend of mine and colleague, Edward Kumar, called Restaurant Leadership 101. That was emotional intelligence and soft skill driven for leaders. And then the McFadden Group really pivoted in going to career coaching for making sure that leadership was more of an actionable thing that we could all look at and not just the people at the top were hoping to be leaders. So yeah, the McFadden Group has been around for just over about 2.5 years. But last year was the big pivot where I went into career coaching specifically because I knew that I could work on developing people's emotional intelligence and core values alignment to then become stronger personally to drive them professionally. These students have this gap between graduation and having international students 9,000 kilometers away from home. And then all of a sudden not coming downtown Toronto because they graduated and they're 2 hours away from their friends now and having a gap that exists and 10 hours away from home, you know, for phone calls. And it's that bridge that I was trying to build in between what the steps that you need to succeed. But when you start going through your own personal meltdowns, it becomes a hard thing. And it really struggles for people to try to figure out what they want to do professionally, as accredited as they can be, is that if you're not aligned with yourself, it makes no sense where you're trying to get to professionally.
Whether you're a nonprofit, church, school, or business, let ourmerchpage.com become an extension of your marketing team. They'll handle the design, sourcing, fulfillment, and management of your merchandise marketing needs so you can stay focused on what matters most, your business.
Wow. Yeah. You just packed a lot of experience, motivations, highs, and lows succinctly within like 2.5 minutes. So that was amazing. First, let me just say that. If we can't take
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. If we could take a step back for a second, one of the things I always appreciate about the hospitality industry, whether it's restaurant, retail industry, any sort of industry where the central focus is the customer experience, the leaders that really get that right and come out of that sphere are normally the ones who really just instinctively get the people first aspect. And so I'm wondering if you could tell us why you went into the restaurant field initially, but also what are some of the unique nuances within that experience that helped you shape your view around this people first approach to leadership?
I worked in retail when I was a teenager. So there was a sports shoe store here, kind of like Foot Locker, that had opened up in a brand new mall in Burlington. Burlington's not a big city. There were about 200,000 in population, but it's one of the main cities that people live that work downtown Toronto. It's a hub city. And this mall had opened and I was 13 and I kept applying to Athletes World with a resume. And I literally worked at a Burlington Post newspaper route. And I had worked at a golf course as a yogi cleaning members clubs for a free membership. And funny enough, last year, my dad and I were playing in that course and I went into that exact spot where I started at 12 years old, taking care of people. Wow. And the guy that was working, I made a joke. I said, I just needed to have a moment here because this is where I started my career in hospitality 33 years ago. So for 9 resumes into Athletes World, I didn't get hired because I was too young to have a social insurance number. And at 14, you could legally get them back then. And the day before my 14th birthday, I got hired. And I loved the energy of this store and the magic of it. So between 14 and 18 years old, I worked at Athletes World. And I fell in love with sales. And I hate the word salesman, but I believe everything in this world has a price tag and everything's for sale, as an old boss of mine used to tell me. Everything's for sale. And I had a lot, but working 9 hours a week, 9 hours a week, I was the number one salesman in Canada per hour on sales at 15 years old, because I just was the guy that was like, great, you need basketball shoes, but what are you wearing to the basketball court? You need 2 different socks for those entire experience that you're having. So, and it was neat too, because the motivation behind it was that it was minimum wage at that time was $6.80 an hour or 6% commission. that I was pumping out paychecks, that I was living for today, and should have probably saved a little bit more when I was younger to think for tomorrow. But I, at 18 years old, I was now a key holder at a different retail store as well. And my girlfriend at the time was working at a company called Eastside Mario's, which is Applebee's-ish in style, you know, but a big deal in Ontario for kind of family dining. And I started as a host at 18 years old, actually in the same mall. I loved it. And again, I was 18. I was unsure what I was doing for school, and I was doing theater quite heavily, and I had an agent in two cities, and I was working as an actor. But it was, what am I going to do? Right? Am I doing college? What am I doing for school? And so it was a way to make money early. And then I became a waiter quite quickly because I convinced my bosses that a true conflict of interest existed when your girlfriend's a server and you're a host. So that if there was ever a ruffle in the relationship, the only reason she doesn't have a section full or a section just heavily pumped and in it deep is because we had a hiccup in our relationship yesterday. So I became a waiter the next day, which was great. So, and then it was a short time spent. I was in New York, and I came home just for a moment where I was 19 and needing a break in my own mentality. And my mama threw it out and added it to the Chateau Lake Louise. And this is just as Canadian Pacific bought Fairmont and the branding was changing. And I ended up getting hired in the top restaurant there it was a luck. I didn't know that this is what was happening. But the restaurant was only open from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. I was cracking bottles of Chateau Petrus and Lafite Rothschild nightly at 20 years old. And I just fell in love with it. So I went after my Sommelier diploma. I said no to traditional university and traditional college. And I decided that my education was going to be in wine, and I was going to build wine lists and create environments for people to see the art of food and wine coming together and trying to have that magic, really, of taking one thing that somebody else made with something somebody else made and meeting somebody else I never knew who they were and trying to make that all connect somehow. And I fell in love with it. So I dove into it heavily. But hospitality for me is everything. I love your comment about retail, is that I have very avidly recently, and again, I pushed the idea that hospitality isn't just the food and beverage folk. It's the gesture of what we do and looking after people. And I've got a captain of an airline that is a client of mine, and he goes, I didn't realize, I thought you just did restaurant stuff. I said, you're getting the point. If you're getting somebody from here to here, everything in between is the hospitality to get them there. Yeah. So every bit of gesture that we do for human beings is it. I just happened to work in the food and beverage sector of it for as long as I did. And now I gratify to the idea that as long as we're doing something for somebody else, we all need help with that, making sure that we can do something for ourselves first before we start jumping into taking care of others. But restaurants, I think food and beverage and hospitality is the greatest thing that exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we all need to eat. We all need to enjoy a sip of something. And I think the non-alcoholic world has become explosive in North America and even globally. But we're doing better things for people. And the big push on it was COVID was the big shift. And that's when I realized that if my team wasn't safe coming into the restaurant, then it made no sense how many guests we had walking in the door. So I put my team first before my guests. But the thing I forgot before all that was I should have put myself first before my team. I hit a lot and buried things down and started becoming unhealthy for myself and for the people around me. I had to back out of it. And my wife had called me out again. And she's like, you gotta get your shit together.
Yeah.
And I had to, right? But we had to make some big changes to do that. So, but I believe everything has to start with you. And I think in leadership, teaching leadership, ethics, and diversity in college was neat because I did a debate in class one where it was, do you think leadership is an innate trait or a behavioral trait?
Mm-hmm.
So I dropped classroom into 20 groups, 20 students in each group, and I said, do a study on it, find it. You had an hour to put together a PowerPoint presentation. Mm-hmm. And I believe, and I've said this quite a few times lately, is that I believe leadership is something that's in us. It's just sometimes found and sometimes not, sometimes a little bit quicker to realize that we have those capabilities of leading, but more of this pulling idea than pushing idea makes those stronger out there. And just for fun today, I wore my wife's Me First in the Game shirt because I did a post the other day on my newsletter that was, you're the most important person in the room. And I always advocate that for my clients. So today I thought I would go Me First in our little spotlight of the conversation here, but I believe leadership starts with with yourself first. And if you can't get up in the morning and make your bed and pour yourself a bowl of cereal and have a coffee and start your own day, you shouldn't be trying to ignite other people's days before you have your own stuff.
Amen to that.
But I think behavior factors absolutely change all that. Yeah. So I think it's within us, but it needs to be self-seen first.
Mm. Oh man, there was a lot of stuff there. There's a lot there.
Yeah. Sorry.
That was fantastic.
I take it and go.
It was a great question in the beginning.
I appreciate it.
I want before we get too far in and we run out of time, I want people to know how they can work with you. Like, how do you structure it? I know you do one-on-one and you do teams, but let's talk about that for a little bit so that people know how, because we're going to have all your links when this goes out on Friday. I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you and how to work with you. And then what does that look like?
So it's neat. So I'm heavily on LinkedIn, but I've got my own company page, but I really never use it. I just tag it because I believe everything about your own company's, what your brand is who you are. And if Christopher McFadden isn't the more important component to the two of those, then it doesn't make any sense to just put a company page together if it doesn't have a person that does that. So Christopher McFadden on LinkedIn is huge. My website is tmg-hospitality.ca. Getting a hold of me is easy. LinkedIn is great. Or Christopher at tmg-hospitality.com. You'll get directly to my email. And I do 3-session and 6-session components for independent clients. And everything that I really do in the framework is all about individuals within the premise. So I've got some people that are going into the tourism sector. I've got some people going into the retail sector. I've got companies pivoting from, you know, retail thinking to restaurant thinking and food and beverage thinking for the retail shops and building more customers, not as just customers, but as in relationships with clients.
Cool.
And building go-to people, right? And if you go and sell $10,000 in suits at the store one day, but you only sell $38 in socks to the guy the next day or the lady the next day, right? Who cares, right? Get your side out of that mindset, right? It's about the relationships that we build with people and that continuity that we have. So my sessions, I actually tailored to touch. So I was doing straight 6 1-hour sessions with independent clients. I give it a little bit of extra timeline in that because I don't believe if a conversation is 40 minutes, people apologize. And I'm like, it's good. Like, just you're trying to get somewhere and I'm trying to help you get there. So don't overthink that. But I broke it down to 3 sessions as well because I wanted to be also economically friendly for some people that had an idea of what their path was. And then for team coaching, it's a 6-hour session. But what's really neat about it is I work very much on the components that if I've got a team of 50 in the room, is that everything that we're teaching is very self put together while we're teaching it. And that I believe that every individual is a better part of a team. And when that team is put together, it's a greater part of an organization. I'm a diehard baseball fan. My wife is too. I said, who's the most important person on a baseball team? People kind of paused for a second. I was like, it depends on what the situation is, right? So yeah, the executive chef and the GM and the directors, blah, 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 are important. But if somebody's not seating the guests and if somebody's not running the food and if somebody's not taking the orders, and if somebody's not making the drinks, everybody's component is as equal to the next. Because if you don't have the sum of the parts, it doesn't make any sense for what we're doing in the industry. And this is in any aspect of taking care of people. But I think the more attention that we start paying to how much we take care of people and everything we do, if your accountant's sending your books off to the government, I call that hospitality, right? So there's a moment there too that exists, right? But my entire framing of work is an inside out way of looking. So we do personal SWOT analysis. I do 60 different core values to go through that you have to break down to what's not important to you, what's important and what's very important. And then I get you to realize that everything that was not very important, we're never going to pay attention to because actually those were your speed bumps and why you're where you're at today. So we're going to take those out of the equation completely, but you're going to take your important, very important breaking down to the top 10, and then we're going to dive right into what each of those values looks like first personally and then professionally. So I like the life-work balance idea or life-work harmony rather than work-life implementation. It's a big alignment, but people, it's funny because in the middle of sessions, something triggers for somebody. And I had a colleague recently who was an inspiration for me. And she goes, I have to fire my business. And she goes, oh. And I was like, you said it. So now I've been on her. I'm like, get rid of your old company email address. Like, you need to start firing your own thing you created, because that's causing the divot. Get rid of it, right? Or the chef who didn't think they had to be a chef anymore because their parents told them that they had to do something different. And in the middle of a team session, they turned around. As somebody goes, well, you work at the kitchen. She turns around and she goes, I'm an effing chef. And said it without knowing she said it. And turned around and looked at me. It was actually a student of mine that became a client. Looks at me and goes, did you hear that? I was like, I did. Did you? I said, you're exactly where you need to be. The difference is that you've been learning hospitality front of house for what I taught you in college. And you're taking everything that you know about the back of house, and now you've just gotten a promotion as a sous chef because you know more about what's happening in the front, because you're fully aware of why you should be in the back. So now we've just connected these pieces together that you never thought, all based upon the fact that you didn't think public service was important to you.
Oh my goodness.
It changed.
Wow.
I dive in deep. I really do. I just believe that there's so much center that we can find in ourselves. And again, I didn't do this just for fun. I did it because I had to do it for myself. And I had to do a lot of realities in my life to make sure that I was good. 1% better the next day than I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. I cared about money on that shit out there, but yeah, my work is deep. And it's funny, I had somebody say that, you know, you're an emotional intelligence coach. And I said, 100%, and I'm fully certified to be this. But then I would just be doing things in a why perspective. And the personal thing is so important, but you still have to have a professional tone in your life. So if you're not doing something for a career, it doesn't make sense. But are you doing the right thing in your career that makes you happy when you wake up? And if you're not, let's fix that.
Oh.
I love coming to my office and going to work. I love selling cookies for my wife's business. I love having clients. I love having teams. I love having opportunities to do more than one thing. God bless. I love it. So my wife was a pastry chef for 25 years. We launched this company. She launched this company just over 2 years ago, 2.25 years ago. And her one big thing when we were doing a little R&D on cookie businesses out there, she goes, everybody's just making one dough. I don't get it. She goes, I have to be super cool and original with this. So every cookie dough she does in her 12 cookies are completely individual to that cookie's purpose. So I had to eat Pop-Tarts for a month and a half while she was creating a Pop-Tart. So it's this heavy set sugar dough rolled in honeycomb cereal crumble, so it texturally crunches like a Pop-Tart. Keep in mind too, Jason, that she did culinary first before she did pastry, so she thinks like a chef. But the name of her company is called Snaxco, S-N-A-X-C-O. And her website is snaxco.ca. Instagram is snaxco.ca. And the entire brand is built on punk music. So all of her Instagram posts and stories are choreographed to punk. And Christina Tosi from Milk Bar was her inspiration. And I was super blessed that I brought 4 cookies to Vegas with me. And I met Will Gardera. And Will Gardera handed cookies off to his lovely wife, Christina. And she messaged Joe on Instagram and said, I'm in New York with my kids enjoying your incredible cookies. Thanks very much. And now Christina Tosi follows her on Instagram, which is just dynamite.
That is so awesome.
We do a whole bunch of farmers markets and events throughout the year in Ontario, in Southern Ontario, because it's a way cheaper rent. And we ship across the country heavily. But keep in mind, the cookies are heavy. So 24 cookies to Vancouver last week were 8.5 pounds. And there's only 2 pieces of tissue paper in there, so we're shipping cookies. Yeah, it's a good thing. We'll make it to the U.S. sometimes, but the FDA costs are a little expensive to get a thing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You can go in there and there, but it's dynamite. So snaxco.ca.
Well, we're gonna make sure that link is in there as well, because I know our Canadian friends are gonna jump on all over this. So
yeah, I appreciate that.
And I know when I am in Canada, I'm gonna make sure I get some of those cookies. So
I'm going to make sure you get some of those cookies.
Man, I cannot believe our time is up, and you have been such a great guest, man. I love you to death. I have loved all of our conversation. Thank you so much for being here, for kicking off season 7 with Dom and I, and another big round of applause. Thank you, Chris.
It's you.
Thank you for being here today. And we will catch you next time. You have been on Time to Change. I'm Chasen Forehand.
And I'm Dom Jones.
And we'll catch you next time, man.